Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, park fans. We're a podcast for theme park fans, and we're here every week talking about things that happen in the theme park world. I am Vex, and this week I'm joined once again. He's been on the podcast before, but he's back because it's 2026, and a lot has happened since we last spoke. It is the lovely Lawrence Mansey from Paulton's Park. Welcome back to Parkcast.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for having me back.
You are very welcome. Very happy to have you back. We had a lovely chat last year with everything that was happening at Paulton's. There was a lot going on and a lot that was going to happen in 2026. And those things have now happened. So I think we should talk about them, how it's gone and what we've got to look forward to again next year, because the fun never stops.
Why build one roller coaster when you can build two?
Well, exactly. Yeah. why stop there? Why open one attraction when you can open an entire new land, which is what you've done in 2026. Of course, Valgarde opened in May. We spoke about it on the podcast last year and your plans for it and why you were doing it. So just to recap, Valgarde is your new Viking themed area. Obviously the standout attraction in there is Draken, your Gerslauer Eurofighter, which we had a chat about last year, and you kind of explained your reasoning for putting in a Eurofighter, which came as, I suppose, a little bit of a surprise to some enthusiasts. But just remind us again what your thinking was when you were building that.
Yeah, so, Paulton's, prior to Valgarde, is a fantastic attraction for young children. For obviously, we've got Peppa Pig World, which is very, very popular for young kids. But we felt like we needed something after Tornado Springs and Lost Kingdom to really appeal to that slightly older child. And, you know, we're still only talking about an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, because, I mean, at the moment, if you're at all 4-year-old prior to Dracon, you know, you'd be able to go on pretty much every single roller coaster at Paulton's. So, you know, we were losing our audience too early. So we needed something that was intimidating and looked the part, but didn't take up a massive amount of space. So, Eurofighter was a fantastic choice, we think. And the amount of adults and children alike that are getting off it, smiling and enjoying it I'm really, really pleased.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the worry that enthusiasts always have is that it's going to be a rough ride. I went and rode it last Monday and I was pleasantly surprised. I did say in my video I was nervous about a Eurofighter. I've had bad experiences with Eurofighters in the past, naming no names, but it was exactly as you said. It was a perfect experience. It was smooth. I was riding it with a group of girls who were obviously here on a school trip, and they were probably, like you say, about 10, 11, and they were screaming their heads off all the way around it, clearly loving it. So yeah, from that point of view, it did exactly what you wanted. Those are girls who maybe otherwise would have kind of topped out on the thrills at Paulton's, but they've now got that new attraction. We obviously watched it go up in quite a lot of detail because you do these updates for us, which we're always really appreciative of, because a lot of parks don't do that. But you literally talk us through every stage of construction when you're doing something. Why do you do that?
Well, I think it's fun. I enjoy it. we enjoy showing off what we're doing, and we enjoy seeing all the lovely comments people leave on the videos. And it's nice to bring people on that journey. You know, it's a fairly unique thing, building a new themed area like this. Obviously, we started it with Ghostly Manor, and that went down really well. So it was the obvious thing to do to do it for our big new area as well. And it brings people through the journey. I think it shows them, and they feel a connection to the area as they've seen it grow from just a field into this amazing area. They see all the amazing people, the amazing tradespeople that work on these areas, and they're so skilled. These guys and girls, what they can do across our carpenters, electricians, plumbers, you know, engineering, theming artists. There's so many people involved, and it's great to be able to showcase their work, not just at the end, but at the start of the process as well.
Yeah, and it is great for us as enthusiasts to be able to see all that background stuff happening as well, because otherwise we are restricted to peeking through construction walls and putting cameras over fences.
I suppose there's a lot of that going on at the moment.
Yeah, well, yes, and we'll get onto that. I think one of the most impressive things for me is now when you drive into the car park, how much Draken just dominates the skyline there. It's suddenly, not that it didn't before, but it suddenly looks like a theme park. Do you know what I mean? You've got
I know what you
this.
mean. There's definitely a sense of arrival now when you park in the car park and you look around, and your whole 180 degree of your field of vision is full of rides and attractions, roller coasters, and of course, Draken is the most interesting part of that view, because of course a lot of people very intimidated by the vertical lift and the beyond vertical drops. So it's definitely a step up attraction for us.
And I know we talked about this, about it being intimidating, and I agree, vertical lifts I think are intimidating, but I will say, having ridden it, you're up there so quickly, like you barely have time to
Yeah, it's quick.
appreciate that you're even on your back. You're like, you literally, and I get nervous if I'm on the Smiler or something like that. That second lift hill, I'm just like, oh, okay, I want this bit to be over. But I was pleasantly surprised how quickly I was at the top of that. So again, I guess that plays into your idea of this being the next step up coaster. It's intimidating, but it's not too much. It's
No,
not terrifying.
it's not the longest coaster in the world, obviously. it's not the longest coaster in the world, but it is certainly over fairly quickly, which is sometimes good if you're slightly scared of the roller coaster. You don't want to go on too long. But also, what I the part of the ride that really shocked not shocked me but surprised me is how quickly you're through Raven, and you don't even really notice that you're interacting with it. To be honest, the best experience is on Raven if you get a bit of dueling with Dracon as it goes over the top. That is really cool.
We love an interacting element as theme park fans. The bit that I loved was the stall on it,
Yeah, it's
which
great element.
it, I mean, I you see it on the layout when you release the layout, but you don't really think about it. And then I saw it off ride, and I was like, oh, hang on, that looks like that could be a bit of decent hang time. And it really is. Like,
Yeah,
it's
it is.
such
It's
a
a great
great little
element.
bit.
The whole package is, it's a fun ride. It's a fun ride, and that's the whole thing. That's what we wanted. We didn't want anything that was going to, be too intense. You could still put it in that family thrill category. By letter of the law, it probably is a thrill coaster, but it's still a 1.25 meter height restriction. It's still quite a small child that can go on it, and I've seen some quite small kids going on it, coming off it, and running back around and having another go. So it's still about having fun.
And obviously it's in this Viking themed area, and you have themed it. You haven't just popped a Eurofighter down. I think the station's really impressive. I love the bit as you leave the station before you get into the lift hill. You've got all the little touches in there. That I guess was quite important to you, that it did feel like an immersive attraction.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's I wouldn't say it's easy putting a roller coaster in just by itself, because it's not. But it's the extra detail that we put in to the area, to the experience, to the queue lines, because we want people to feel like they are completely immersed in that world, in that Viking experience. Because the theme parks are about escapism at the end of the day, and it's the little details that matter, and I think people do notice them. It's all about that sense of quality, that experience when you're coming on a day out and you're paying a fair chunk of money to come to Portons. It's important that you feel that quality, and you walk around and you see value everywhere you go, whether you're in a queue line, in a toilet, on a roller coaster. It's all important to the experience.
And I think this is why you guys are getting so much love, not only from the enthusiast community, but from the general public as well, because I think we are noticing that. I know I've done a couple of videos online where I've talked about you, and yes, I get enthusiasts commenting, but what really surprises me is how many non-enthusiasts comment and say, we love this part, we love coming to it, we always have a great time, or we've grown up with it and we've seen it develop and we love where it is now. I even get some people saying, please stop talking about it because we don't want it to get too
Don't
popular.
stop talking about us. We don't want that.
This is the weird thing, isn't it? Because like, clearly you need to be as popular as possible. I kind of understand their thinking of, oh God, if everyone, it's like our little secret
Yes,
almost
yeah,
at
absolutely. Yeah, don't we don't want
the
everyone to know what a good day we have at Portons, because then it'll be
yeah
difficult. But it's not a problem we'll have, I don't think. We always work hard on short queues, and everything we talk about is super important. And obviously, every theme park operator wants more people in the park, but we want to do it in a responsible way.
And I think I noticed that when I was there, because bearing in mind I went last Monday, so we are peak school trip season. We've seen the reports of school trip season at other theme parks in the country. Generally, I don't go to a theme park in July for that reason, because I just, for me, if I don't need to go when it's peak season, why would I go? I'll choose a better time to go.
Yeah, of course.
But I only had a limited time here in the country, and that just worked out that I could go. And it did not affect me at all. At Portons, there was not, it could have been any weekend day or even a weekday. You clearly had school trips in, I saw the coaches, but for some reason it just didn't affect the park. Is it, do you limit how many school trips you'll take?
We do, yeah, we do. We actively monitor how many we're booking in. It's not a free for all. You know, we will stop bookings on days that are getting too busy, because it is just important that the school kids are having a good day, and our standard guests, if you like, are having a good day that aren't on school trips. Because yeah, we've all been to theme parks where you've got a herd of herd of school kids running at you, and yeah, it's not what families want either. You know, they're here on a day out, and we are lucky in a way because they don't tend to venture into Peppa Pig World, so it's fairly well protected from that experience. But you know, it's something that we actually monitor, and we beef up on staffing to make sure the queues are, you know, we're operating efficiently to make sure, because the school kids, they're important to us as well. We want them to have a good day too. So it's a time of year that can be operationally challenging, but it's just obviously how you plan it, how you manage it. Getting them into the park is obviously a quite a big undertaking as well, because they all arrive at once. Some of them are doing drop-offs with parents as well, so you've got to manage that in the car park and make sure that's not impacting your flow into the car park and things like that. So it's all got to be planned and thought about well in advance. You can't just expect them to turn up and just have a good day without making any effort.
Take the money and run, basically. and I think you make a really good point there, because I've often thought when you have a busy school trip day, I feel so sorry for the kids sometimes when they go on this trip that they must be so excited about, and they maybe get on three things.
It might be their one or two, you know, one chance, you know, one or two chances maybe a year to go to a theme park. So you know, we want to make sure they have a good day as well.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, they come to you, they have a good day, they go home, they tell mum and dad, oh, a lovely day, can we go back again? Then it works out for you that way as well. So let's go back to Valgard. So obviously you built Draken, but that wasn't the only change for this year. Like, as I said, why build one attraction when you can build two? So you put, I want to call it Wild Swing, but it's technically Wild Swing, right?
I guess Vildswing.
Is
the official pronunciation, but Vildswing, Vildswing. I've heard it all.
And that's the first in the country. These are getting quite popular. There's quite a few of them popping up, but yours is the first here. Did you go and ride that somewhere else, or did you just say I want one of them?
Yeah. James and I went to Tripstrom.
Ah, okay, yeah.
To ride the one there. And we both got on it, and within about 5 seconds we were, yeah, this is, we need one of these. It was very easy for the sales guy.
He was waiting at the end of the queue with his,
with the contract at the end. They're fantastic rides, and they're just so much fun.
Yeah,
I think everyone looks at it and goes, oh, it's fairly small, right? Actually, get on it and you're pulling some forces on that gondola as it swings back and forth, and they're very intelligent attractions. They actually weigh the gondola at the start of the ride.
Do they?
Yeah, so it weighs the gondola, and then it knows how heavy the gondola is. Obviously, how heavy it is depends on, you don't want to overswing. So there's different programs that run based on the weight of the gondola and stuff. So, you know, there's always more to these attractions than you see.
Yeah, I've never heard that before about them. That's really interesting. I guess that also ticks that box of a family attraction that's still got a bit of a thrill as well. You haven't put in a top spin.
Absolutely, but it's all about offset. It's all about offsetting, and we don't want to split families up. That's really important to us when you're going around the park. We don't want, okay, well, we'll go over here and you go over there, and you know, so I will meet you in an hour or something, because that's just not what a day out is about. You're there together. You should stay together and enjoy the rides together and make experiences together. So where we have a larger roller coaster, we'll always try and offset with a smaller attraction, or it doesn't have to be a ride, it could be a playground. So it's really important that the family unit is staying together, because that's what people are there for, to enjoy the day with their family.
This is something that I've spoke about so much, like when I'm at a theme park and there is like a smaller ride or a play area near a big attraction, it's just perfect for us as a family because, yeah, like you said, we're doing usually a baby switch at theme parks where you've got bigger queues. Yeah. And yeah, if you're somewhere where there is nowhere nearby for your younger child, it is difficult. So the fact that you think about that, like it is appreciated. And we do notice as a family that those little things happen. And it absolutely does help make the day a bit better for us as well. And the other big thing in Valgard, the new thing is the feasting hall, which I saw again from your updates being built. And I was like, that looks quite impressive for a restaurant or theme park. And then obviously I went in it for the first time myself last week, and it was just as impressive in real life. I think I actually said to you, this reminds me of the restaurant they've got at Isle of Berk in Epic. Mm-hmm. Similar sort of theming and scale. It's got the sort of longboat in the middle of it, which you can go and sit in, which I did go and sit in with my daughter. And it's great, but you could have just stuck in a cafe or whatever, but you obviously decided, no, we're going to go all in with this one.
Yeah, but the experience doesn't stop when you go into a restaurant, does it? And you know, Disney and Universal and you know, the other big operators around the world and in Europe understand that and get that. And it's something that we started a little bit with Tornado Springs, with Route 83 Diner. That was a very themed dining experience. But Feasting Hall is that next step up, definitely. It is so impressive when you walk in there. And it's a modern restaurant. You know, we've got 8 self-service kiosks in there, a very high-capacity kitchen. It is a big restaurant, but still a good experience, and you still walk in there and go, wow, this is cool. And on very hot days as well, it's got big AC units in there, so people can go in there for a rest, and that's important as well, to make sure people are comfortable inside. And if people walk into a restaurant and they go, oh, it's boiling hot in here, I'm not going to sit in here for half an hour, you know, whereas if they walk in and it's nice and cool, and then they might, you know, get back up and have a dessert or something, or get another drink. So all these things are an important part of the experience. So yeah, the Feasting Hall is something we're really, really proud of. And I think it's going to be made even better in the years to come.
Okay. I did go and have my lunch there. For the AC, as you say, I was on a very hot day, and it was lovely and cool. But obviously, I just wanted to check it out as well. You've got some themed sort of options in there as well. Yep. You've got, is it your frosty apple?
What is
this? Hang on.
Golden apple frost.
Golden apple frost. Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's nice.
That's nice. Nice themed drink. There's no prizes for guessing where we took the inspiration from for a theme drink. It's obviously a very, very popular in a certain wizarding world.
Yes,
it's been really popular here. I was really surprised, to be honest. I mean, and the F&B team, it's their own creation. So it's not, you know, they've actually taken that away and mixed all the ingredients together and done a lot of trials and come up with that product with the whipped cream on top. And actually it's our own recipe, which is really cool. So it's I always see people walking around with it, especially on hot days. And it's nice to have a themed food item in there, because a lot of people asked, why aren't you doing, you know, more themed food in there? Why aren't you doing a turkey leg or big Viking pictures and all this kind of stuff? And you'll know from having a young family that having options that the children actually want to eat is quite important. Because there's nothing worse than going into a restaurant and going, well, you know, my daughter, my son is not going to eat any of this. So we've got to have options on the menu. That, and it's the same for adults as well. Adults can be fairly picky eaters as well. So it's important that the items we choose have a nod to the theme, but one, going to be popular, and two, are going to be easy and quick to cook.
Definitely, which doesn't always get thought about. I did notice as well, though, you did have some options for the adults which weren't just chip based. You know, you've got some salads and stuff in there, which again I think we need more of in our parts of the
UK. Nice wraps there, and you know, it's always good time. We've got to cater for every, you know, gluten intolerances, vegan, halal, vegetarian, you know, all this kind of stuff. We've got to cater for everyone that visits the park. So it's a F&B operation is challenging. It's a big operation, but the team do a fantastic job.
And they are in-house for you, aren't they? That doesn't get subcontracted out.
It's all our own team.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, I really enjoyed my chicken wrap that I had in there. I will say, if anyone thinks about ordering the hot peri peri sauce, it's very hot.
Yes. Yeah. I tend to go for the medium.
I can assure you it's hot. And I think, not that I want to encourage this behaviour in theme parks, but I'm actually going to say it. I think you could reduce your chip portion size.
Well, very, very generous. We're very generous with our portions, that's for sure. And they come in a nice, the boxes and everything are really
It's
lovely with the cups and stuff.
themed,
It's all the little details. It's
yeah, I like it. Yeah,
nice.
that is a
But
step up
especially,
as
I mean,
well.
everyone says theme park food isn't cheap. And, yes, naturally, when you go to a theme park, I think you probably will end up paying a little bit more than you will on the high street for your food and drink. But it's important that you get good quality still. And you get, it's presented nicely, it's cooked well. It doesn't take a long time because people aren't here to sit in a queue for their burger. They're here to, eat quick if they want to and then get back out on park. So,
And I always say I don't mind paying more at a theme park if I still feel like I've got value for it. What I really resent is paying a lot and then being like, what is that?
But food prices across the, not just theme parks, pubs, and I mean, you're not going to get much change for a meal for £20 at a pub, for a drink as well. So, and it's the whole hospitality industry. It's obviously struggling with margins at the moment. So, you can appreciate it.
Has the government's VAT cut helped you guys at all?
Yeah, it's been great. We're really pleased to see that. Definitely. So we're passing the saving on to the customers, which is great. I think we get into summer and see how it goes. But anything that's going to encourage people to visit is a positive, definitely.
Yeah, and it's every little helps at the moment. Obviously, the last remaining little bit of Valcar that we haven't talked about is Raven, which was your re-theme of your existing coaster. I think we've talked about it a little bit on the podcast last year, but you could have just left that. You didn't have to spend money re-theming an existing ride.
Yes, we did.
Well, I'm glad you did.
We weren't going to get away with that.
It looks great. It's given.
If I really wanted to upset the enthusiast, then yes, I could have left it unthemed.
Well, why would you want to do
No, I don't want to do that.
but it's given it a new lease of life, I think. It could be a new ride because
Absolutely. It's a top family coaster. It's still the only one of its type in the UK. 20 years old now, amazingly.
is it?
Yeah, 2006.
There will
Should
be
be
people listening to
over.
this younger than that.
Well, yeah, but it's still a good coaster. It's still a fantastic roller coaster. And it was great to give it a new lease of life. And the new vehicles are stunning. The painting of the coaster, especially one that is fairly lengthy and extensive as Cobra was a challenge, especially with the weather. I think I touched on it in the construction updates. We had to. It was one of those things that it was. We've got to get it done because we've got to build Dracon through the middle of it. And then once Dracon's open, obviously, or not open, or built and commissioning, it makes it very, very difficult then to get into the areas to then finish the painting. So it's something we were desperate to get done prior to the main winter, but the weather was just tough. So when you're trying to paint in sideways rain, it's not really
Oh
working.
God. I
So and even when it, and even then when it stopped raining, it got really, really cold, which made it very, very difficult to paint as well because the seal gets very cold, and the paint won't adhere to the surface. So we had to delay that a little bit and find some time to get it finished, but now it is. And I was skeptical about the colors, I have to say, when I
Were you?
but yeah well not skeptical but nervous, I guess, because it's a big thing changing a color of a coaster. You can only really do it. You're not going to do
You
it.
don't
Not
get
going to
halfway.
change. Exactly. You're not going to go back and repaint it. But actually, the sort of maroon and the green really, really works.
I think it
Obviously,
looks
it's
great.
the same color supports as Dracon. So all that whole sort of vista blends into one, and you can't really see where one coaster supports start and end, which is really nice. So it's come out really well. It's just given that coaster a whole new lease of life, and it'll be here for a long, long time, Paulton, Stephanie.
Oh, that's really good to hear. What do they use to paint it then? Is it like an
They rolled it
airspray?
on.
Roll it.
Yeah, it's all rolled on. Yeah,
Oh,
multiple coats as well, because
wow.
you get a lot of wastage of spray.
I suppose so. I think it's going to go everywhere.
So you probably use double the amount of paint if you're spraying it, and actually you don't get as good a contact. So it's all rolled on, Amazing group of guys that did it. They were it was a yeah I think a tough task, you know. I mean, there only a certain type of person I think can sit there and paint a roller coaster, because it is literally the same thing every day. But
Oh,
it did an amazing job.
it doesn't happen very often either, does it? I guess most of the time when you get a coaster delivered, it comes from the factory and
Yes,
it's
it's all
done. You
powder
just
coated and
bolt
everything.
it together. Yes, God. Oh,
No,
bless them.
it's yeah,
Well,
luckily we don't have to do it too often. But I mean, it's obviously Cobra Raven is one of our longest roller coasters, so it was a big undertaking.
yeah.
But it had to be done, and it's completely changed its identity.
It's cheaper to do that than build another new roller coaster,
Yeah, it
so.
is. It certainly is. Yeah, I'm not sure which is more stressful.
Oh, well, hopefully they got a nice few beers afterwards
Yeah, I think there
for
was
their
plenty of
efforts.
that. Don't worry about that. They were fine.
And well, then this moves us on nicely into what's happening next, which got announced. Well, it got announced officially at your Superfans Day slash the Valgard opening day.
Big surprise.
It was a shock to all of us, to be honest, Lawrence. Your new attraction for 2027, which obviously has been revealed to be a Mack water coaster, first water coaster for the UK. I say it was officially revealed because when we were talking about Drakken last year, obviously enthusiasts were already on site and snooping around and saw footers go in for the 2027 attraction and immediately went, "That's a Mack water coaster." Now, I am not on that level of nerdiness. But clearly some of us are. Were you like, "Oh, for God's sake."
It was the holding down bolts, wasn't it? They were delivered, and we put them in perfect line view for everyone. So it's not the end of the world, definitely. You can't build it in a year. This is the Serpent's Curse has been a on the books for a number of years now, obviously working with Mac, and obviously we're reaching the culmination of it now with the coaster going up. So yeah, it wasn't the biggest secret, I don't think. We tried to keep it a secret for as long as we could, but once the bright yellow track started arriving, I think it was fairly obvious what was going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could have just surprised us all and said, "No, we're building a log flume."
Yeah, exactly. It's a log flume with the coaster element.
I'm delighted you're building one of these. I think they are great attractions. I was there, as I said, last Monday, and there were footers in and a couple of supports. A week later, it's basically the lift till
Pretty much, we actually topped the lift hill off this morning,
Wow.
which is
I
pretty
can't believe the
exciting.
difference in a week.
The RCS are building it for us. I don't know if you know RCS.
I've heard of them, but
Yeah,
I've
so
never crossed
they
paths.
build a large number of roller coasters across the world. Work with all the major manufacturers, very experienced team. This crew, I think, were in Mexico a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
So they move around a lot. Bring all their own equipment, and very, very skilled at what they do. So it doesn't take them long. And this is a small roller coaster for them. They build very, very big roller coasters, 60 centimeters. So yeah, they're throwing this up fairly quickly for us. But it's not just the steel, electrical installation as well has to take place. So all the sensors on the lift hill and everything goes back to the station and the control cabinet. So yeah, we wanted to get the lift hill up and then start on the wiring of the lift and the station, which was a large part of the process.
Yeah, because it looks, when you see it go like that, you're like, "Oh, it's nearly done."
It's always the bit that you see the most progress the most quickly, if that makes sense, but a lot of the progress is behind the scenes and underneath the track and in a cabinet somewhere. It's all just as important, but it really does dominate over the top of Valgard
It
now.
does, yeah.
And you spoke about coming down the drive into the car park. You can't miss Serpent's Curse now.
Bright yellow,
Yeah,
beast.
it is definitely there. Yeah, it's exciting. We love building roller coasters. We've built quite a few roller coasters in the last 10 years.
You have actually. I think no other park in the UK can compete with the amount that you've built.
Yeah, we the park has grown very, very quickly. All about widening our audience and cementing ourselves as the top theme park in the UK, which we like to think that we are.
I think a lot of us would agree with that. And obviously, we've got theme park awards coming up soon. You won that last year. We'll see what happens this year.
Awesome.
So the idea with Serpent's Curse, so it is forming part of Valgard. And I guess, is it supposed to be, obviously the Viking boats are out at sea, and then this is this behemoth which
Yeah, of course. So the serpents are a very big part of Viking mythology. You got Jormungandr, which is the world serpent. I think I'm getting this right. The story's all based around him. The key with the ride name is that it's got to be fairly easy for people to say, and you get that message across very simply. So we did play around with a lot of things, but the Serpent's Curse logo has got obviously the boat in it and the water around it. And the key for us is taking a photo of it and the big splash as you hit the water. So from a marketing point of view, it's a great attraction. Yeah, we'll be within Valgard and we'll be themed very nicely, as you might expect,
Yes.
with Valgard, and it will finish Valgard off. And I think Valgard needs that final last attraction.
Yeah.
And it's going to be epic. That first drop, I can't wait to see it in person. The elevation change from sort of 20 odd meters down to floor level is rapid, and it's as fast as Drakon is. It's going to feel really fast when you're in that boat. Yeah, it's really exciting.
'Cause you're telling me like the scale of it is it's actually going to be quite long. Like,
It's got a long experience.
surprisingly.
It's 400 over 400 meters of track. It's going to be quick, and it's a very quite low to the ground, so you're going to take that first drop, and then obviously you get the airtime hills, you get the big overbank turn into the top hat. There's some great elements in there, I think, and days like today, weeks like we've had, we are desperate for a large scale water ride. Definitely, it's going to be super popular.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I think with the water coasters, you don't have the worry of being completely soaked through. It's not like change of shoes territory.
Oh God, no. It's
It's
they're very good at engineering the splash in such a way that you get sprayed,
Yes.
not drenched. That's what people want. You don't want to actually
Yeah.
be changing your clothes in the middle of the day.
No.
And we're also going to have the splash zone as well, so you can
Oh, are
choose.
you?
Yeah, so there'll be a zone looking over the attraction that where the splash is, that you can stand and get hit by the splash. So if you really want to get absolutely drenched, you can stand there.
Okay, that's good to know. I mean, you say you are crying out for a major water attraction. Well, let's just talk about the seals because
Well,
this is my daughter's
a
favorite
very, very
ride in the
popular
whole
ride, as we
park.
know. Yeah,
She absolutely loves those seals. And you were telling me that they're not going anywhere. They're just having a bit of a rejig.
so we're getting new boats, the little serpents. They look really, really cute. I love the reaction we got on that when we showed the design of the boats. Oh, that's really nice. That's
Oh,
exactly
little
what we want,
serpents.
isn't it?
Oh,
Yeah, they are. They're obviously
cute.
for a younger child, and it goes back to what I was saying before about offsetting. Your big ride, and then you've got your smaller water ride. And Seal Falls, if you've visited the park with young children, you'll know that it's very special for them to go on the ride by themselves. It's really special, and it's one of the first rides that they can do that on. So it's definitely worth a lot to us here at Poulton's, with our younger audience. And I think bringing it over to Valgard and having a, because it is a sort of an area for older children. So having a ride for very young children in there will do no harm at all, and it'll be nice to have it next to the Serpent's Curse in that area.
So you're going to move it over into Valgard.
So it's moving into Valgard, and it'll be next to our shop in Valgard. So it'll be just in front of the toilets, where they are at the moment.
Oh, well, I'm going to look forward to that. And she would be heartbroken if you ever got rid of that. So I'm afraid that has to stay for many, many years. You just mentioned your shop there in Valgard. This is something we were talking about as well, when it comes to merchandise. And something that I've never really thought about, that how when you operate a park, you've really got to consider your lines of merchandise and not going all in. And enthusiasts, obviously, we always want more. And we're like, well, we want this, we want branded this and branded that. But that's quite tricky for you to manage, isn't it? So that you don't end up with a load of leftover
Yeah,
stuff.
absolutely. It's the enthusiast market is not not huge, and obviously there are lots of people that will buy, you know, really nice piece of merchandise. And we do have a lot of nice merchandise that we've put in with Valguard, you know, Dracula t-shirts, and
Yeah.
obviously there's going to be some Serpent's Curse stuff as well, and some new Valguard merch going into the new shop.
Yeah.
But it's far better to have fewer high quality lines than lots and lots of lines that just aren't getting picked up,
Yeah.
because, you know, the general public, the pickup rate is fairly low for that sort of branded merch, and we are trying to improve the quality and the designs and how we present them to try and help that. But it's a slow process, and you definitely don't want a warehouse full of stock that you can't shift.
Yeah.
And
Oh, yeah.
there's MOQs, so minimum order quantities, that you've got to take into account. Suppliers won't just print you off 20, you know.
No, yeah.
You've got to order thousands to make it worth their while as well. So it's all stuff you've got to consider. So we are going through that process and figuring out, you know, which lines we think will work best. But there's some really cool stuff coming.
Yeah.
Some really nice clothing that we're looking at. So we are definitely trying to up our game on the merchandise. But as always, with everything we do, take a cautious approach, see what's working, refine it. You know, don't go nuts.
Yeah, well, it works so far. Like everything that you've done over the last few years seems to have done exactly what you wanted it to. Whilst I was at the park, we chatted about Ghostly Manor because you have dropped the age restriction on that, which is something we talked about on the podcast last year about why that age restriction was there. Was it 8 before? Was it?
It was a minimum of 5, so
Oh, it was 5.
you
Okay.
had to be 5 years or older
Yeah.
last year, and we've dropped that to 4.
Yeah. And you sort of explained last year that your reason for that, it's not that it's necessarily super scary or anything like that, but it was more about if anyone did get a little bit intimidated and you had to e-stop the ride and
Again,
evacuation.
it was a new ride for us, so it's important that we learn how people are reacting. And actually, after seeing it operate for a year, had a review and decided that it would be okay, definitely for 4-year-olds to go on this. And it's better, we prefer more people to go on our ride, so it's not a
Yeah.
decision that we take lightly. You know, it's having a higher age restriction, you know, will upset people because they can't go on the ride, and it's not something we ever want to do, upset people.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've got to take the decisions that are best for the operation of the park and for the guests as well.
Yeah.
But after reviewing it and seeing actually your children coming off it absolutely loving it, and guest feedback, and it gave us the opportunity to review that at the start of the year and bring that down to 4 years old.
Yeah. Well, and that's great. And it's again, it just shows, I think, that how you as a park kind of operate is that you won't just go, well, no, we've made that decision and that's it. You are always listening, and that's something that really comes across. I think when we're dealing with you, we're visiting the park. We talked a little bit about this last year, but it's evolved again since then. Do you think that people are now starting to really see you as so much more than Peppa Pig World? Obviously, for so long, that's what you were. And
Yeah,
I,
well, I hope so.
yeah.
You know, that's obviously part of the strategy, and it's something that it's a challenge for us, from a marketing and a PR point of view, of shouting about ourselves as Pultons, rather than Peppa. And don't get me wrong, we still want people to visit Peppa Pig, you know, and people still will visit Peppa because she's such a popular brand.
Yeah.
But the important thing is that people know that when they hear Pultons Park, they don't just hear Peppa Pig World. You know,
Yeah.
we want them
Yeah.
to hear Valguard, Dracon, Serpent's Curse,
Yeah.
and that's something that we need to push, and shout about and tell people about. So I'm hoping that we're starting on that journey, and obviously adding the attractions that we've added is definitely helping with that. And we're definitely seeing a lot more people, a lot more older children visiting,
Yeah.
for the new for Dracon and for Valguard. So I hope so, I guess, is the answer. It's always very difficult to measure. It's always very difficult to know if it is working, and it's a long process.
Yeah.
But it's not going to, you can't change people's perceptions of a brand overnight. It's got to be done, you know, in a staged process, and with consistency and good marketing.
But you look at the park now when you're there, actually Peppa Pig World is such a small part of it. It's really weird for me because I'm there now as with a child who's probably just about topping out of Peppa Pig World, and it wouldn't even occur to me that I wouldn't go anymore if she was too old for it. Whereas I guess a few years ago, it really was the main hub of the park. But
Absolutely.
now everything has kind of shifted I guess, west.
A lot more people are turning left now when they park, you know, rather than, which is great to see. Exactly what we want to do, and it's a great example. You know, your daughter is now going out of Pepper, but we've got a lot more. A lot more for her to enjoy, which is fantastic.
And still stuff that she is too young for as well. So it's like she's nowhere near complete in the park, if you know what I mean.
She's
kind of done the Pepper. She's now in that middle bit where the first thing that she wanted to go on when I got there was Farmyard Flyer. That was like the immediate, she wanted to go on that. She did the slides this year, which she hadn't done last year. They were too intimidating for her.
Buffalo Falls.
We did them so several times.
Don't sleep on Buffalo Falls. It is
no. There's some airtime on that.
Yeah.
and she was. We walked past them and she sort of said, "Oh, I don't think I want to go on them." And then we walked past them again. She's like, "Oh, actually, I want to go on the slides." And I could tell at the top, you know, as it sort of it raises you up, I could tell she was nervous about it. Yeah. But as soon as we were halfway down, she was laughing. Yeah. We literally got to the bottom and it was that classic child thing of, I want to go again.
It's one of our most popular for photos, that one.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
Because you get some great expressions.
Yeah. It's such a simple ride, but a lot of fun. But that it struck me when I took her, actually, because I took her almost a year ago. And we went on different things this time compared to last time. Last year, we spent a lot more time in Peppa Pig World. This year, she did that for the first time. She did the drop towers for the first time.
Yeah.
I still can't get her on Flight of the Pterosaur. She just, or Velociraptor, she's just not quite there yet. But I know by this time next year, she very well might be. That's what's nice for me is I know every time I go, it's like it's something new to try with her. Like, that's exactly your strategy, I guess. I'm playing into it as the ideal.
Right, it's lovely to hear that it works.
Which means I have to keep going back.
Children are very different. You know, there's a lot of children that you can't get them off the rides.
Yeah.
So you've got to cater for everyone. There's a lot of children that will look at Dracon and go, oh, I've been on way bigger roller coasters than that. Or
yeah.
You know, I've known some kids that they've gone on it and they've come off it and told me that was their first ever inversion.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be.
Quite a coaster to go on for your first inversion. but it's really really positive to know that families enjoy Poulton's all the way through, and that, you know, it feels part of their family almost, you know, part of growing up, which is lovely.
It's just, for me, it's an easy day out. I went on, like I said, it was a really hot day. It was the school trip season. It was July. It was just the most chill day. We weren't rushing around. We weren't stressing. We were just taking our time. It's easy to walk from one side to the other. And we didn't want to go at the end of it, which I guess brings me on to the last little point to discuss, which is something you have mentioned briefly, but where are we now with on-site accommodation? Because that is, I guess, the next thing that's like a piece of the puzzle for you guys to complete, to
definitely
get people to stay, make it a 2-day experience.
We're very keen to get that, you know, that project moving. We are still working on it in the background. There's a lot of detail that has to go into this. We still haven't put a formal planning application in with our local authority yet. So we're still working on a lot of the detail. So we're still very early in the process. Yeah, it's I think don't expect anything in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long process. The planning process will take time as well, and we've got to make sure we get that right and supply everything that our local authority needs, and work with them to hopefully, you know, get the permission to build it. And then once we get the permission to build it, that's actually when you really start having to worry about it, because then you have to figure out how you're building it and who's building it, which bit you're building, because you know, there might be a phased element to this as well. So at the moment, the project for us is to work on that planning application and get that in, and then afterwards, you know, we'll see what state the park's in, the business is in, the economy's in, because it's a large investment.
Yeah.
And it's a big commitment as well. So you've got to make sure that, you know, when you commit the amount of money that it's going to cost to build a large set of a large accommodation like that, that it's going to pay dividends over the next 5-10 years. And we need stability for that. We need stability in the business, in the economy, to make sure we can make those decisions. But at the moment, we could get the planning application in, hopefully this year, and see what happens. But we're committed to it. We want to do it. It'll be great for the business, great for the park. And we think it's really important that it's a mindset thing, isn't it? Having on-site accommodation, I think we've seen a lot of interest in it already. Yes. Which is really, really exciting, really nice to see. But it's definitely going somewhere and staying on site. I think it's easier for families. Having to, while we're very, very successful with our short breaks with our local hotel providers, having that mindset of staying on site is important, and it widens makes your catchment area bigger, makes your travel time longer because people know they can stay on site. So it's all important. And we're fairly new to this as well. Not something we've ever done before on site accommodation. So as always, we're treading carefully to make sure we get it right.
Well, I'm sure when you get there, which you will, it will be excellent. And I mean, it's not a deal breaker now. There is a Premier Inn about 100 foot from your
Absolutely,
front gate.
yeah. We do a lot of work with hotels in the New Forest and in Southampton. So we get a large number of people still travelling a long way to visit Portland and staying at those hotels. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's making life easier for people, and it'll be good for the business as well. So it's important, and the scheme looks stunning. It's a really lovely set of accommodations, nice variety. We've got the tree houses, the sort of the A-frame lodges. There's a lot of cool places to stay, and there's great ability to phase it as well, and build new bits and chat about those. So it's an exciting project and one we're working on every day. But it is complicated, but we've got a lot of fantastic people working on it as well with us. So yeah, it's a big project, definitely.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, as soon as that planning permission goes in or application goes in, there's going to be an enthusiast who spots
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt. Yeah.
it.
Yeah, no, you can't hide anything.
So no, not at all. So we'll all get to hear about that immediately. And yeah, I'm really excited to see how you guys continue to develop as a park over the next few years. I know even between now and then, and the water coaster, and then I'm sure you'll have something else up your sleeve. You're not going to just sit still, and that's what makes you, I think, a really exciting theme park in the UK at the moment, that you're not content with just going, oh, that's fine now, we've done a bit, we'll sit back. It's
Always
always the next
always
thing.
something planned, always something planned. And
Which is
yeah, thank
great.
you to all the enthusiasts for their lovely comments. And we love engaging with everyone. And it was great to see everyone on Superfans Day and see their reactions to Vanguard as well. So it was really lovely, and we do really value everyone's comments. While we're not, we don't have to agree with all the comments. We know everyone's got their opinions, and we know those opinions always come from a place of love and excitement, for the industry, which is really nice to see.
Well, let's do it all again next year,
Yeah.
at the opening of Serpent's Curse. Well, we love it. We love you guys. Thank you for coming on again, giving us some of your time, telling us all about it. And if you haven't been down to check out Valgard yet, I would strongly recommend that you do. I still get people saying they've not been to Portland's at all, and I'm like, you need to go and just, if you're feeling a little bit jaded about theme parks, go and have a day at Portland's, because it'll make you go, okay, yeah, this is how it should be.
Expect.
You're welcome. He's not paying me to say that either. I'm just going to point
No.
that out. Lawrence, it's been lovely chatting to you again. Like I said, let's do it all again next year. Good luck with everything. We will be watching the progress of Serpent's Curse. I know you're going to keep us updated, and we really look forward to it. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, because I am going to be taking a few weeks off and you don't want to miss a future episode. So do that and you'll get a notification. And if you want to leave a review, you can do that as well. That always helps. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.